Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
And welcome to a new episode of Digital Coffee, and I'm your host, Brett Dicer. As always, please subscribe to Digital Coffee on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Leave a review. It really does help with the rankings. And let me know how I am doing. But this week, we're going to be talking about Call of Duty, Microsoft's, I guess, new message about Call of Duty in general. So there's going to be a lot of Call of Duty stuff in here. We're also going to talk about AMD. We're going to be talking about Atomic Heart because it came out with something. Elgato's new Keylight Mini, Valve Steam Deck, Crysis, and basically the future of PC gaming, what it's all about. I have three buckets for this, and it's going to be very interesting. So let's get brewing. That's good. All right, so first off is going to be AMD and basically the market around it. I've been trying to focus more Digital Coffee on just the business side of it because a lot of gaming podcasts do focus on games and general stuff that most other podcasts and YouTubers focus on. So I want to try to like pivot and be more specific in the business aspect of it because I feel like a lot of that is lacking. But going on to it is that the fact that AMD finished strong. It finished really strong. The problem is it finished strong in the server market because they've been taking market share from Intel. But on the x86, the things that we care about, the desktop versions of it, not so much. It kind of sort of went up and down. It's got about, I would say about 20% of the market. It had about 25 in the beginning, but with the chip shortage and everything, it lost ground to it. Not saying that they aren't bad, not saying that Intel isn't great or has become great, even though they do have some power draw issues. I've always said this, Intel has power draw issues. AMD just sometimes always falls behind Intel because Intel finally gets their act together. But this is where we're at so far. So could we see an uptick? I think we will once we get the 6,000 AMD chipsets in because everybody's judging Intel's latest chip to last year's AMD chipset. And obviously, it should be beating previous generation chipsets. We have to see what AMD comes out with the PCIe 5 with the LGA socket instead of the AM4 socket, which they were previously using. So it should be interesting to see how this is all going to work out because the new 6,000 chipsets will be more on par with what Intel is doing and to see if they actually are on par, better or worse. If they're worse, then I would say go with Intel. If they're better, then I would say weigh your options with that because there are always pros and cons to it all. All right, moving on to Microsoft and Call of Duty specifically. Microsoft buying out or acquiring Activision Blizzard, which has not been finalized yet. It's going to take a while. And the fact that they have said that Call of Duty will still be multi-platform. From a business perspective, and this is good for PC as well, so this is what I'm talking about. From a business perspective, this is a good thing. Now, it's not just business. Phil is not a quote-unquote nice guy. He may be a nice guy, but on this thing, it doesn't matter if he's a nice guy or not. This is business. Who cares if he's a nice guy or not? It is all about the perception of what they're giving off for the FTC and consumers, because the FTC is investigating them to see if there's any anti-monopolistic, antitrust issues with this. And so what they're trying to say is that even though we're going to have these properties, IPs, we are still going to be putting them as multi-platform. So in the mind of the FTC and the DOJ, they're like, okay, this isn't as bad as if they were not acquired. This is what they're trying to figure out. Because if Microsoft's like, hey, we're still going to keep it as it is, nothing's changing, whatever, we're even going to put it on the Switch. We're going to put Call of Duty on the Switch. That is, in my mind, saying, hey, look, FTC, we're not actually making this exclusive to the Xbox Game Pass. However, and this is what most gamers don't understand, is that they could do what Sony did with the previous ones and put specific modes as exclusives to the Xbox Game Pass Xbox system. There's a difference between that, because then PC may or may not get it. They'll probably likely get it because Microsoft is all in on PC gaming and Xbox in general. So I could see DLCs or specific skins locked behind the Game Pass, so PlayStation or Switch cannot get it. That could be one thing that they could do. There's various different things they could do to make it feel exclusive without having the game exclusive. And that's the biggest thing people are missing. They're like, well, Xbox players, well, man, shoot, they're not going to get this exclusive thing, but they could in a different way. And once again, this is all about calming the fears of the antitrust monopoly mindset that we all have, or some people have about this. This is plain and simple placating the regulators and basically just saying, look, we're not really going to do anything because we want this deal to go through. That's all they want. They want the deal to go through. They want the IPs. They want to make sure that they grab as much as they can so they can compete on a bigger scale than just your plastic box as an Xbox. PlayStation is doing it too through God of War. God of War has sold 2 million units already. It's been out for 2 months. This is not going to be a specific, you have to get this plastic box. It's going to be multi-platform for all games eventually. Sony's going to be starting to release their games on PC because it matters, because they're seeing the windfall of releasing it on PC as well. PC is a huge base, and you give us really good quality games, we will buy them in droves. Now, moving on to a very interesting bug in Call of Duty Vanguard. It is basically the trees move. You shoot the trees and they move in these weird ways. It's almost like you make them dance, try to get your favorite beat going in these games and try to go dance, trees, dance with your guns, with your bullets flying on the trees instead of actually killing people. You're like, no, I'm here to shoot the trees, people. That's all I'm here for. The trees move when I do it, and they move to my beat. I'm just kidding, but it is a really funny, well, it's a funny bug. I mean, there are bugs that are game breaking, there are bugs that are worse, but it's a hilarious bug when the trees move like they do, and it's in shipment. But apparently there's other maps in Vanguard that do this as well. So I'm all for this bug to stay in just because it's funny. I know it breaks immersion, whatever, but it's hilarious. All right, moving on to Atomic Heart. Yes, the game that was announced a couple years ago, and I really wasn't quite sure when it was coming out. It is a very interesting, almost like a cross between Half-Life and BioShock. I would say more of System Shock in a certain type of way as well. There's some of that too, because a lot of the robots and everything, almost like a Fallout too. So there's a lot of different, like, I guess, inspirations behind this game. It's made by a Russian developer, which in the trailer you could see that the mouse moving don't really sync with the audio of the language. So it's like in Russian mouth they're speaking, or they're mouthing, but the speaking is in English. So it's a very weird thing. But beyond that, it's a very interesting game. Kind of about futuristic, almost dystopian in their own way. It also has basically, it has this vibe of like, you're the hero, but you're not, but you are trying to figure out what's going on in this world, why everything is so broken. It is a vast array of interesting robots that you may or may not control, but at least can electrocute them. And it just has this vibe I haven't seen in a while since BioShock. That's why people are equating to BioShock, because it's got this interesting vibe of BioShock, System Shock, which is some of the same things that we are, same developer of BioShock and System Shock. They're about the same developers that have done it. That it's interesting. Like, it's, I feel like it's going to be a good game, but I'm not quite sure. All right, moving on to Elgato. And Elgato just released a new light. It's going to be a mini light, a keen, similar to the recently launched Logitech light that we saw. This one is for $100. It does have magnetic sides. You can stick it on metallic things. You can also put it on a stand if you wanted to. It's not quite as bright as the Keylight Air, but it can be good for other uses like background lighting and everything, or on the go. Like I am not in my house, my normal studio. I am in a makeshift studio, which it is what it is, but it's very interesting to see that they're going for the more the smaller or people with not as big budgets for this. And it could work out, as, and you could have two lights, one on each side, so that does take out some of the harshness in the light. The problem is with smaller lights, they can be a little harsh on the shadowing. You can use it for a backlight for a green screen. There are other things you can do for this that are actually going to be interesting properties, especially for $100. It's not as bad. It also does have an internal battery that you can take out if you want to, but it will allow you to travel with this. It's not the most, I say, long lasting. It's about 2 hours. So 2 hours will give you some shoots, but you'll have to have a power bank to actually keep this going. You can plug this in from a USB-C port into your computer to keep it continuously lighting, but you have that option. You also have control through the Steam Deck and also through the app to control the light and everything else. You can control it through little knobs on the sides, but I heard they're a little finicky, so I would use the app instead to get the best control. All right, moving on to the Crysis Remastered game, and there is going to be a significant patch to date that's going to be improving various different things, including DLSS, significant improvements to GPU and CPU performance, and stability improvements, because Crysis is a beast of a game. It was a beast of a game when it came out. The meme was, can it run Crysis? Because always that was a thing. I think now with modern PCs, you can run it, the original Crysis, not the remastered one, the original one, pretty good, pretty significantly good at the top tier level. But I would say for a decade or more, it's, you could not run it at top notch graphics because it's just as intensive as it was. Now, when the new one came out and I didn't have my computer still pre-built, the 1080 still couldn't keep up with Crysis that well. I was running maybe 30 to 40 frames. If I was doing high, I'd have to bring it down. So there are issues with that. There are issues with old GPUs not being able to perform. You'll just have to tick down some of the graphical settings, which is unfortunate because Crysis is a beautiful game. I am glad they're making Crysis 4, but this should be a good thing to enhance and update the original Crysis, because like I said, that original one was a beast of a game. This other two weren't as intensive because they kind of cut it down for consoles, but the first one that was only on PC was a beast of a game. All right, so let's get on with the main thing, which I'm going to talk about, which is the future of PC gaming, because I feel like I need to talk about this because it's a long time coming. PCs has been the main, I guess, innovative track for gaming for a very long time. It still is to a certain extent. I know consoles are getting more powerful, but they're also becoming more like PCs. And PCs always will be behind at first, but then jump ahead quite quickly, where consoles are just left behind because they're very fixed and you can never upgrade them. PCs you can to a certain extent. There's some things where you just have to build a whole new PC, but for the most part, you can stick with the motherboard and GPU or CPU and then update your GPU and RAM and everything else without having to build a whole new computer. So there's components about that. But now we're seeing kind of a divergence in it. So we're still going to have PC, main PC and laptop PCs is the main thing for people will probably gain. But now we're going to see likes of the Steam Deck and all the other versions of or different competitors of that type of segment. And then we have the cloud gaming segment. Yeah, I know it's kind of a little weird, because, but you're still using a PC to do it, either through GeForce Now, which utilizes your own library from Steam and everywhere else, or the Xbox Game Pass. You have to purchase something for it, but you're still using a PC for this specifically, not so much with cloud gaming, but at least for GeForce, you are using a certain type of PC in the background or in the cloud. The PC is clouding you the graphics. Anyways, what I'm seeing is a divergence, which is good. I like to see innovation in this type of area. It's very exciting to see this. People say VR. I'm still waiting for VR to actually show that it's actually going to be a viable thing and not just this metaverse crap. I think that's crap, to be honest with you. I think Zuckerberg's insane. But I do think that we have a very exciting time within this, still this realm of handheld consoles or handheld PCs now, laptops, traditional desktops, and cloud gaming. maybe you don't want to buy a Steam Deck. You'd rather just do a monthly subscription with Game Pass, which is fine. Game Pass Ultimate is a really good deal. For $15 a month, you get everything on PC, Xbox, you have it, and the cloud gaming plus perks, and perks are actually pretty interesting. So you have that, and the library is growing on the cloud gaming side of it. It's mostly still Microsoft games, but it's still growing, which is a good thing. And I could see this growing more and more and more because it's one of the actually good cloud gaming setups I've seen besides GeForce. Let's not talk about Stadia because Google is now just completely abandoning that to be more about tech than what about the hardware is. We haven't heard much about Amazon Luna, and I don't think it's going to be doing as well as it should. So that's another thing to look at as well. We're seeing big companies throw big money to this to see if it actually works. But I've only seen Microsoft really do something incredibly special with this. A, because they have the content behind it. Because it's not, and cloud gaming is not just about how fast you can get the games, but how many games you can provide on the cloud. If you can only provide two games, because, well, Amazon only really does have two games, Lost Ark and New World, you don't really have much. I mean, people can come back for that, but they're not going to come back for just those two games forever. So we're going to have that. We're going to see who actually wins out. I'm pretty sure there'll be about three or four different competitors that went out on the cloud gaming side. Moving on to the handheld PC side, we haven't seen this much of just more handheld typeness since the basically induction of gaming laptops. And even though you still have to have a quite significant space, they're still bulky. I have one that has the most bulkiest power block I've ever seen. The Steam Deck does something interesting that even the other gaming consoles doesn't do. It turns it into almost a very portable PC, but a very competent gaming PC as well. You won't get like the top tiered type of gaming for it. You'll get mid to low specs, but you'll get it at a really good frame rates and a really good screen. It won't blow you out of the water, but it will be good. You also get a way to take out the battery, take out the joysticks if you wanted to, and make this live as long as you can. There's also a micro SD card slot for this as well. You also have it where productivity, if you want to, this can turn into a PC on the go by surfing the web and everything through its Linux-based SteamOS, but you can install Windows with it, which should be interesting to see how well Windows 10 does, and maybe 11. There should be a really good comparison between those two, but or dual boot in a way where you can boot one or the other. But overall, it's another avenue for gamers to play their games and not have to sit in front of a desktop. Maybe you want to go out in the sun and just play in the park or whatever. It'd be a little weird, but you could actually do that. Maybe you want to go on a plane and play this game locally. You can do that too. It's going to be very interesting. Now, it's a little bulky. It's not as slim as the Nintendo Switch, but it has a lot more functionality than the Nintendo Switch. That's what I like about this. I have the Switch. It's a great little device, but it's for Nintendo games. And if Steam can get the majority of their library to work well on the Steam Deck, it will have the most games anybody has ever seen on a handheld device ever. I mean, you won't be able to actually install all of them because you have a very limited file storage size, but it is a very interesting time in the PC gaming industry because of all this thing that is going on. Dbrand has already made basically skins for this. I could see a lot of competitors specifically using this for maybe for headsets and everything and saying compatible with the Steam Deck. It has Bluetooth on there, so you can use your favorite Bluetooth headphones or in your earbuds. I mean, there's still a headphone jack in it. They're smart enough to be like, hey, some people like their headphone jacks. Let's put that in there. But you also have this. Now, on the traditional desktop and laptop, you're still going to see the most cutting edge on there. This isn't going to change probably in the next 5 to 10 years, and probably it's going to be even longer to 30 years, because as technology does get better, desktops are still leading the way in the most innovative ways for speed and graphics, and just the cutting edge of it will always be desktops. Laptops will be second because you have to condense all this stuff. I could even see a lot of this going the way of more Steam Decks for gaming PCs specifically instead, unless you need a traditional keyboard and everything. These won't go away anytime soon, but we could see a shift in traditional laptops to be more of Steam Deck alternatives instead, because Steam or Valve is showing the way of how portable gaming gear can be done well. There are some few issues with it, what I've seen around the net, but the few issues may or may not be worked out in software. I think they could, a lot of them could be worked out in software, but beyond that, it's a solid built machine that you can effectively replace parts and use it for as long as you want to. And it's cheaper than a lot of the other competitors. They're $1,000 or more just to get their stuff. And this is, the top tier is $600, a little over $600. So it's a very exciting time to be in this industry with everything going on. And it's only going to get better in this type of way. Steam did try to do their very small PCs, and those didn't work out, but they actually repurposed their very small PCs to be a handheld PC in general. And I think that's going to be their biggest thing, their biggest breakthrough with SteamOS too. Will SteamOS still market share from Microsoft? Maybe a little bit. I don't see it fully doing it for quite a while, but it could be a solid competitor for gamers in general, getting gaming specific drivers for the SteamOS, integrating with Discord if they can do it, or any other chat application. It could be very interesting. Very interesting time. So what do you think? Do you think it's very interesting to be in PCs, in the PC gaming industry, or is it just kind of a same old thing? I like my desktop. I like my laptop. I don't need the Steam Deck. It's all whack. It's my little rap thing. Anyways, let me know in the comments below. And thank you for listening to Digital Coffee. As always, please subscribe to Digital Coffee on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. We review, will just help with the rankings and let me know how I do. Join me next week as we talk about what's going on in the PC gaming industry. All right, guys, stay safe. Game on. That's it. Later.